Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Kroger. Fresh for everyone.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Well, let me ask you to begin this Friday. Have you heard any good rumors lately? I tell you, I love this job, and I'm reminded over and over again of why I do, especially this time of year, because you just sort of never know what you're going to be talking about. It just kind of falls out of the sky sometimes, and there's always things to discuss, but sometimes you have even more interesting things to discuss than you perhaps realized, and all of a sudden you're kind of scrambling to say totally different narrative than maybe I would have initially thought on this final day before we head for our Dog Nation cruise on Monday with a great slate of shows coming up for you next week while we're gone, which we'll tell you more about here coming up in just a little bit. What I'm talking about here is, and you know, look, we've had kind of a busy thing with our family going on the last little bit. So last night, it just so happened that everybody kind of had a little bit of a free schedule. So we said, okay, you know, my daughter had a wonderful chorus concert. At the conclusion of that, we said, let's all just go have dinner. We'll sit down, we'll relax, and that'll be as close as we get to a little bit of a break here. So having a nice dinner, and we're enjoying that, and then it's done, and all of a sudden you start saying ding, 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 ding on the phone, and you look down, you realize, whoa, look at this. The biggest name thus far has entered the transfer portal in one-time Florida commit, one-time Miami commit, spent last year after a very high-profile NIL-related recruitment at Arizona State. But after 1 year there, Jaden Rashada, the quarterback, and we'll show you this on the screen, Rashada has announced his intentions to move on, saying on Instagram, I want to start by thanking my teammates. We shared a bond that I'll remember forever. Kind of a short-lived bond, but nonetheless, Rashada goes on to say, I love you guys, thankful for the time we spent together, and wish you guys the best of luck. He also thanked a lot of the folks in the staff there, and as they call him Coach Dilly, which is Ken Dillingham, the now soon-to-be second-year coach there for Arizona State. Dillingham wrote back in response to that, saying some nice things to Rashada, but the point is, after a year on the job, Rashada now moving on. And what's interesting about this is, A, that's the biggest name thus far to be in this spring transfer portal, but it did not take very long for a lot of the major national websites. I'm just going to highlight On3 here, but basically you had 24/7, you had Rivals, you had On3, all jumping out to say, as was written here, Georgia is the school to watch out for Arizona State quarterback Jaden Rashada. Once he enters the transfer portal, Pete Nakos, who's been on a lot of this news as of late, he reports. And as I said before, you had Matt Zenitz and Chris Summer at 24/7 basically saying the same thing. Adam Gorney from Rivals was basically saying the same thing, that all of kind of these sort of major national newsbreaker guys for these major websites all very quickly saying, Rashada to Georgia, this could be a real thing. So I find this to be fascinating. I'm guessing that you probably do as well. And I want to talk for a moment about two things related to this. I want to talk about what this is, and I also kind of want to talk a little bit about what this isn't. So what this is for Georgia is potentially an incredibly fascinating piece of news. We know that Georgia wants that fourth scholarship quarterback. We'll talk more about that here coming up in a moment. Kirby Smart's been pretty clear about that, that he feels like they're kind of under quota, as the word he sometimes uses, when it comes to this position. Now, the kind of player I thought Georgia would bring in, just to be completely honest, is somewhat of a much lower profile than what Rashada is. This is a little bit of a bigger name. To me, it's a bigger name than Jaden Maiva would have been when Georgia thought he was getting his commitment coming out of UNLV, and certainly a bigger name than the other kinds of quarterbacks, at least thus far, who are in the spring transfer portal. This is a former elite recruit, has some experience in a college offense after a year ago, working with, I think, a guy that most people view to be a pretty sharp offensive mind in Killian Dillingham. So I think there'd be some value here. And in fact, I'd say it this way, and once again, your opinion on this might be different than mine, and if so, that's fair. But I would say, you know, comparing him to, like, say, a Julian Lewis, for instance, that's the quarterback that's been out there. Five-star, big name, and yet when he arrived at Georgia next season, if he did, he'd be doing so with not only no college experience, but also just 3 years of high school experience because Lewis reclassified. I personally believe that Rashada would be a more valuable quarterback prospect for Georgia in 2025 than Julian Lewis would be. I'm talking about as someone who could potentially compete for a starting job, because at that point in time, if he were to come to Georgia, he would have been at Georgia for a year, learning the system the same way that previous Georgia quarterbacks have, and he would have an additional year being around a college program prior to that. I just think we're in a day and age now where younger quarterbacks, I should say slightly older quarterbacks, are just a little bit more valuable. There was a time in the early days of the college football playoff era where a lot of teams were making the playoff with new starters, in some cases freshman starters. Georgia made the playoff in 2017 with a freshman quarterback in Jake Fromm. There was a period of time in college football where that was sort of happening. Or sort of, you know, brand new first-year starters like Johnny Manziel and Jameis Winston were capable of winning the Heisman Trophy. That's about a little bit more than a decade ago. I would say in the last few years, we've seen that balance kind of shift back in the direction of all of a sudden it's slightly older quarterbacks who seem to have more success. So for me personally, if Rashada were to come to Georgia, to me it would be a big deal because, you know, being slightly older, slightly more experienced than certainly Ryan Montgomery coming fresh out of high school, I would say that Rashada probably has a little bit more value right now. A little bit more value even than a quarterback who's gotten talked about a lot like Julian Juju Lewis. I would say that if Rashada were to come to Georgia, he would have just a lot more value than one of these inexperienced, fresh out of high school quarterbacks possibly have. That's why this is kind of a big deal. However, on the flip side of this, I think it's also important to get the additional context for exactly what's going on with Rashada here right now. First of all, the name I mentioned a moment ago, Jaden Maiva, the former UNLV quarterback, who also out of nowhere sort of announced his Georgia transfer. We were all kind of scrambling to make sense of all of that. And then like 5 minutes later, Maiva changed his mind, then went to USC. I do think there's at least some chance that Rashada, even though we're seeing very credible rumors and very prominent news reports connecting him to Georgia at the moment, there's a chance all of this changes, a little bit like the Maiva story, you know, changed a few months ago. That's at least a possibility. And because Rashada is really famous, you know, having had the big NIL dust up with Florida, and I was kind of joking a little bit about that on social media last night, and you know, the battle that was going on for a while between Miami and Florida, because as a recruit, Rashada was so famous, I think there's going to be a chance, at least a little bit of a tendency maybe, to kind of inflate this story beyond what it sort of needs to be. The additional context on this is also, I think, really important too. If Rashada were to come to Georgia, it is, of course, a big deal, but keep in mind a couple of things here. You know, I mentioned the fact that he got some experience at Arizona State last year, but it was actually somewhat limited experience. He did begin the season as a starter, to give you an idea of how talented he is, but after a couple of games there, got hurt, and then almost, I think he played like one more game the entirety of the rest of the season. So this is a pretty young guy, at least a year ago, who was, you know, pretty inexperienced in the fact that an injury kind of took him away from most of his freshman season. So much so, and if you talk to people out in Tempe, they'll tell you this, so much so that Kenny Dillingham, the Arizona State coach, did bring in another quarterback for this offseason there at Arizona State. It's a guy named Sam Leavitt who had been at Michigan State. All reports are Leavitt had a pretty good spring there for Arizona State, and there is a chance that given the fact that Rashada had sort of a lost freshman season, that if Rashada would have stayed at Arizona State, there's at least some possibility that Leavitt would have beaten him out to be the starting quarterback. So my point in saying that is not to poo-poo the idea of Rashada coming here. I do think it would be a really big deal, and I do think this would be an incredibly talented player to add to the quarterback room. But the idea that he would come in here riding the steam of, oh my gosh, this is undoubtedly the next starting quarterback for Georgia on the other side of the Carson Beck era coming to an end, or perhaps he's here to even push Beck this year or something like that. I think the actual facts on the ground would suggest something a little bit different, that Rashada was going to be a part of a quarterback competition at Arizona State. So if you want to fast forward to 2025, of course, Rashada will still be a part of a quarterback competition here at Georgia if he indeed decides to come, which sort of brings me to the next name I want to mention here, which is obviously Gunnar Stockton. I don't think the fact that we're going to fixate a little bit on Jaden Rashada, I don't think that's going to change, you know, anything for the Gunnar Stockton conversation at all. If Rashada were to come to Georgia, of course, he becomes a very formidable part of a future quarterback competition, but I would believe that Gunnar Stockton remains a very formidable part of a future quarterback competition there as well. And I do truly think it would come down to let the best man win. And you'll have obviously a Ryan Puglisi a part of that, we believe, and you know clearly a Ryan Montgomery a part of that there too. We would favor more experienced quarterbacks in any kind of battle like that, the same way Carson Beck leaned on his experience to become the starter for Georgia last season. We would favor more experienced quarterbacks in any future quarterback competition. But in the battle between Rashada and Stockton, it's not obvious to me which guy would win that. It seems like now Rashada probably is destined to get a little bit more attention because he's a little bit more recent. His recruitment had a little bit more in the way of fireworks. But honestly, I mostly liked what I saw from Stockton this past Saturday on G-Day. It was not a perfect day for Stockton, but his ability to deliver the football, I thought was frankly pretty impressive. And I do think it'd be a fair fight between him and Rashada if Rashada were to come to UGA. Now, the good news here is, from a mindset standpoint, Gunnar Stockton is exactly where you would want him to be. And it sounds an awful lot like the guy we talked about yesterday when Ryan Montgomery, who I promise we'll still talk more about today, when the four-star quarterback committed to Georgia, he did so with the belief of, I'm here to compete. Georgia's going to recruit good quarterbacks before me. Georgia's going to recruit good quarterbacks after me. Perhaps Georgia's still good recruiting good quarterbacks in my same class there as well. And I'm just here to kind of prove I'm the best, no matter who it is that I'm asked to compete against. That's what Ryan Montgomery said. And Gunnar Stockton has said very, very similar things. In fact, if you want to go back to the last time we heard from Stockton, just a couple of days prior to G-Day, he was asked directly, hey, did you hear Kirby might be taking a transfer quarterback? That's somebody to kind of crowd in this quarterback competition with you, in that quarterback room for you. Do you feel any kind of nervousness or some sort of scarcity mindset because all of a sudden, you know, you got another quarterback in that competition? And I thought, especially in light of the fact that the Jaden Rashada rumors seem to be as prolific as they are, I thought what Gunnar Stockton said just the other day about perhaps adding another quarterback here to the situation at Georgia, thought it was very, very important words from him. Let's go back and hear Gunnar Stockton from just a couple of days ago.
Coach Smart's always said he wants four quarterbacks and scholarship quarterbacks on the roster, and I think that's what it probably should be. At the University of Georgia, I mean, as a quarterback, why not? Why not would you want to come here? So, heck, it should be a battle and competition and everything. So, just awesome.
So, here's the assumption I'm going to make. If Ryan Montgomery says what he said, and we talked about that yesterday, if you hear Gunnar Stockton saying those things there, then if Jaden Rashada, the man of the hour here for the moment, if he's considering coming to Georgia, then he must be sort of thinking and saying some of the same things there as well. Because as a high-profile player in the portal right now, you have a chance to self-select. You know enough about Georgia, because Georgia doesn't keep this kind of stuff a secret, that if you're not comfortable coming here to compete, if you're not comfortable coming here to fight for your spot, then you'll obviously be much happier somewhere else. So the idea that there seems to be, as has been reported, this mutual interest between the two right now suggests that Rashada himself is also comfortable with the atmosphere that will be around him here at UGA. So bottom line for me is this. I have no idea where this is going, and I did not expect we'd be talking about this here today. The Rashada thing, for me at least anyway, has kind of come out of nowhere. There was a quarterback that also kind of popped up out of nowhere a few months ago on his way to Georgia as a transfer, and just as quickly as we heard that, we also heard he changed his mind. Maybe Rashada changes his mind, and maybe he doesn't come to Georgia either. Over the course of the next few days, we'll probably find that out. But I think it is important to know that while nothing will be guaranteed, and he'll be in a fight for whatever spot he gets the same way any other Georgia quarterback would be, this is a pretty prominent prospect. This is a guy who got some experience last year being around a sharp offensive mind in Kenny Dillingham and was clearly treated as one of the top quarterbacks in the entire sport coming out of high school just a couple of years ago. This would be a big deal. It'd make the quarterback depth at Georgia even more, fully filled out. It would make for a fascinating future discussion about the Georgia Bulldogs and the quarterback position. My name's Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We are presented today by Kroger, and we're happy to have you with us, no matter how you get to us, live on video. Of course, 10 a.m. across all platforms each and every day. Next week, not quite so. We'll tell you more about that. It's going to be a really good thing for you. We'll give you more details on that here coming up in just a moment. But for now, thanks for being with us on the radio and app at Sports Radio 960 The Ref, or podcast, wherever you find them, including post and show at the worldfamousdognation.com. Just happy to have you with us, and so thankful to our friends at Kroger, who make it all possible for you there as well. And it's, believe it or not, about that time of year, kind of moving towards the end of April. May will be here before you know it, and that means graduation season. And so let's get ready to celebrate the grad in your life with everything you need for an A-plus graduation party. You can find the party trays, the decorations, the gift cards, so much more for that graduate in your life right there at your local Kroger. Check out Kroger.com/graduation for more on that. That's Kroger.com/graduation for more on that. All right, let me do a couple of housekeeping notes here for a moment, and then we'll get the conversation going and keep it going here. Jeff Sintel, by the way, coming up in a couple of moments. UG recruiting talk, including how Rashada fits into all of this. We'll do that with Jeff here coming up in just a little bit. So, getaway day for us. We are totally live here today. Starting Monday, though, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week, we're going to be on board Allure of the Seas for our Dog Nation cruise. Perhaps you've heard me mention something about that. I say kiddingly. So we're going to be on the cruise next week. That means we've got a great collection of pre-recorded cruise shows that we've done for that. Same great guests, John Stinchcomb and Connor Riley and Mike Griffith. You know, we do a lot of good stuff with them. Kaylee Manziel steps in. We do a really fun thing with her, kind of combining a Kaylee's Corner that we've done in the past with some of our cruising around the SEC stuff. That gets really fun. So we've got really, really good stuff that we've worked very hard to deliver for you next week. Can't wait to show that. And we did this a year ago. We're going to do this again next Friday as well, so a week from today. That's the day after the NFL draft. Normally, I try to time a vacation show around a moment in which I think will be kind of okay to do a little bit of a pre-recorded show without missing too much, although the college football calendar now is making it much more difficult to do that because it seems like the news never really slows down. But next week is a little bit different kind of week there on that because Friday is the day after the first round of the NFL draft. So next week, and I do not do this lightly, we've only done this a couple of times in our history as a show, there will not be a Dog Nation Daily next Friday. So if you're a podcast listener, on Friday only for next week, you will not have a show pop into your podcast feed. But we will be live on video at 10 a.m. Connor Riley, as he did a year ago, and this year going to be teamed up with our Cody Chaffins, who's been doing a great job. And many of you know Cody. Connor and Cody are going to do some draft recap stuff with you next Friday, live at 10 a.m., of course, looking ahead to the rest of the draft weekend there, too. So we'll be live on video next Friday. It won't be me. I may try to call in if I can, but I'm also traveling, and you know how tricky sometimes that can be. So all of that is coming up then. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, really fun pre-recorded editions of Dog Nation Daily that we've worked really hard on. Friday live with Connor and Cody. Me, maybe if I can pop in, but those two guys kind of leading the way on a little bit of a draft conversation. Now, one more quick note to give you, and after that, we're going to kind of move on with the rest of the show. So we talked the other day about two really fun contests we've done as of late, our Golden Shoe Masters Pool and our Golden Shoe Bracket Challenge, just kind of just for fun, you know, no real high stakes or anything like that, just something we were doing for fun. But we did say, hey, the winners of those contests, we'd get a chance to have them on air here, let them spike the football and celebrate their victory. So today we will do that. Jonah Carney, who won our Golden Shoe Masters Pool, and Randy Hall, who won our Golden Shoe Bracket Challenge. We're going to give them a chance to be on the show here live coming up in, before we're done anyway, coming up, you know, a little bit more than a half hour or so from right now, perhaps. And one more thing to tell you, I have been working behind the scenes on this. Now, this is not like, you know, some sort of grand, you know, prize or anything like that, but I did want to do something nice, if possible, for the people who did participate in these events we just did. Because the honest truth is, we had a great turnout on this. A lot of folks really kind of be a part of this. I was really kind of overwhelmed by the response and very appreciative of it. So I spent a little bit of my own money on this, and I have something for you if you participate in this. So you all shared your address with me. Let me get back from the cruise. But then after that, I think I've got something coming in the mail for all of you who participated in this. So I'll tell you more about this. But if you were part of these recent things, I wanted to do something kind of nice for you, just sort of say thanks to some of the people who were, you know, kind enough to kind of participate in our community here. So stay tuned for that. I think I may have something coming in the mail for you, which I think you're going to be really, really At least I hope you're happy about it. I mean, like I said, don't get too excited. It's not like tickets to the national championship or anything, but it's kind of fun. So we'll talk more about that coming up. All right, now, before we bring on Jeff Sintel, do some UJ recruiting talk, let us go around the doghouse, poured today by our friends at the Finnish Long Drink. Great to have them as a part of the show on a Friday, of course. And there is something that I've been noticing on social media as of late that perhaps is not, you know, necessarily interpreted this way, but I sort of been kind of interpret this way. It seems like very quietly, sort of low-key, there are a few Georgia players who've been kind of announcing their intentions without making too big of a deal about it. And I think it sort of fits into a narrative that at least for now, and it's very, very important to say it that way, at least for now, any kind of dire prediction about how, you know, apocalyptic the transfer portal was going to be for Georgia, at least for now, and of course in this day and age, anything can change at a moment's notice, at least for now, one more time I'll say, seems like it's sort of going okay for UGA. And I couldn't help but notice a few of these messages as of late that sort of feel like, hey, ready to run it back. You know, not quite official statements here, but sort of winks and nods in the direction of, hey, well, I'm all dog. Let me show you Daniel Harris here on social media, at least for those of you watching on video. He recently kind of put something out to that effect, the sand through the hourglass, basically suggesting it's his time to make his move there at Georgia. At least that's the way I would probably interpret that. Seems like Harris is letting you know he's ready for some big things here in the upcoming year. Georgia fans excited about that too. One of the good-looking, you know, youngish defensive backs in this Georgia team, perhaps ready to make that big move here in 2024. Maybe you take that as a sign that for any concern at one point in time, certainly going back to the winter, you would have had, but a possible Harris transfer seems like he's all locked in here for right now, at least based on the subliminal message of a social media post. Same type of deal for Christian Miller here too, who got a little bit banged up on G-Day, but also kind of came back into the game. I believe Kirby Smart reported there as well. And a guy who I think, when you think about guys who could really pop for the upcoming year, Miller is clearly viewed to be one of those guys. He put there on social media here this week that year three is loading for him. This could be the moment in which he becomes one of the sort of top defensive linemen in the SEC, at least possibly, and a huge part of a defensive lineman line rotation for Georgia overall. Once again, one of those kind of quiet messages that sort of seems to be interpreted as, hey, yeah, everything's all good, ready to kind of roll here. And then Sam Mpemba took another step beyond that, very funny on Instagram, says, thank you, UGA. And then in parentheses says, I'm not leaving. Very funny stuff. I even got Raylan Wilson laughing a little bit there on that. So Mpemba obviously making a joke about the, the way in which everybody's sort of on pins and needles right now about who's doing what when it comes to the transfer portal. But a lot of Georgia players kind of quietly announcing their intentions to be very, very excited about the upcoming season, which means, once again, for now anyway, the transfer portal and the spring edition of which seems to be kind of working out okay for Georgia. We'll see if that remains the case between now and April 30th when the portal closes up again for the final time here this year. And that is Around the Doghouse here today on Dog Nation Daily. And it's poured by our friends at the Finnish Long Drink. And as you know, when you start thinking about being away and being in the Caribbean on the beach and enjoying stuff like that, I love the Finnish Long Drink during this time of year. I love the peach-flavored version. Look at that if you're watching on video. The peach-colored can, how good does that look? It just looks awesome. And so many of you have got a chance to try it. You tell me about how much you love it. For me, my favorite's still the blue can. It's the traditional. It's the grapefruit flavor. It's the gin kick. But either way, whichever option of the Finnish Long Drink you think you would love, we do truly believe there's a variety out there for you on that. Our good friend Kaylee Manziel, she loves the cranberry version. That's a lot of fun. Long Drink Strong, 8.5% alcohol by volume. Long Drink Zero, no carbs, no sugar. Post-cruise, that's probably what I'm going to need as much of as I can probably get if you know how the cruise typically works out for you on that front. Either way, we want you to try some. Go online to thelongdrink.com. You can pick some up, and you can really enjoy it. It's a great time of year to be enjoying that as you're getting ready for pool season or you're sort of enjoying back patio season or, you know, fire pit season or whatever you got going on. Really good stuff there with the Finnish Long Drink. So find it online, thelongdrink.com, and it's great to have the Finnish Long Drink bringing Around the Doghouse to us here today. All right, a little bit late getting to Jeff. So we're going to try to make up this time in the air here. Before we're done, interesting stuff. A couple spring games tomorrow worth your attention. I'll tell you why in particular one of those. Also, a former dog is in the news today. We'll tell you more about that. And two great special guests to conclude here celebrating some recent accomplishments in our Dog Nation Daily universe here. So we'll do that. But for now, Jaden Rashada, what does this mean? Ryan Montgomery, the aftermath of that, and a whole lot more. How about Jeff Sintel here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger.
And across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
All right, let's say hello to Jeff Sintel, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. And Jeff, I did not expect today. Jeff's already got his cruise attire on. For those of you watching on video, you love to see that. Did not expect today that you and I would be talking about Jaden Rashada, but we are. Biggest name in the transfer portal thus far this spring. And just as quick as his name pops up, immediately there were very credible rumors, well-placed sources, seemingly reports by very bold print name, you know, media types, that Rashada had a connection to the University of Georgia. Where does this come from, and what does this mean? And I guess, third question, do you honestly think Rashada here ends up at UGA?
Morning, Brandon.
Morning.
Now, first of all, I got to admit, you're going to have a lot of fun with this. You probably already had a lot of fun with this. But like, it's almost like Kirby's going to find new ways to inflict pain on Florida, which would mean bringing the guy that they thought was their initial NIL poster child back, maybe to beat them as a designated, I don't know, gator tier delivery device type thing. I think it's credible, Brandon. I think people that would know and people that are talking, those streets, Brandon, they are talking.
They are talking.
And, you know, I think it makes a ton of sense, Brandon, when you sit there and think about what happened with Juju to Ryan Montgomery. We've wrote about that pretty in-depth last night on our site, if you saw it, on DogNation.com. And when you sit there and you add the Rashada piece, because Rashada, Brandon, at one time was like a top five, top three. I think he ended up number seven overall quarterback in the 2023 class. All of a sudden, it does a lot of things. It gets Georgia back to that four scholarship number. And they even bring in the talented walk-on and Colt Ginn this summer as well. And the scholarships are right, and it's a right situation for Jaden. I don't know how much of it is out there because people are asking the question, like, why is Jaden Rashada transferring to be a backup? Well, he probably wasn't the clear-cut starter to Arizona State anyway. And I say that because he only started portions of the year. That job was in flux a little bit. So really, Brandon, for Jaden Rashada, it's the chance to play at UGA. If you're a backup somewhere this next season, isn't it better to be at Georgia rather than Arizona State? But the main thing is it gives him kind of a lead dog pole position to go after and chase the 2025 quarterback job at Georgia. And I think the people around Rashada have correctly deduced that if you're in the running to be a starter at Georgia in 2025, that's probably better than Arizona State in 2024 or 2025.
Yeah, I think your opinion on this seems to be somewhat similar to mine. This is one of those, on the one hand, this, on the other hand, that type of situation. On the one hand, a Rashada 2 years removed from high school, I think would be more valuable in 2025 for Georgia than a less experienced player who hasn't taken the kind of in-game reps that Rashada would have taken. He did play some a year ago. And a guy that would have kind of sat and watched this year, kind of learning the Georgia offense, that's a more valuable player than a less experienced guy that Georgia might be bringing in, whether that's Montgomery or another name we've talked about, like Julian Juju Lewis. I just think Rashada would be certainly far ahead of one of those guys. But on the other hand, you know, the name we mentioned was Sam Levitt. That's a Michigan State quarterback that came to Arizona State. A lot of people in Tempe will tell you that he had a very good chance of starting at Arizona State this year, whether Rashada remained there or not. Yep. So this notion that because Rashada's pretty famous, you know, well-known because of his recruitment, biggest name in the transfer portal right now, that he would have the inside track over Gunnar Stockton to be the starting quarterback in 2025, I can't necessarily go there. He might win that, and I think that by 2025 – Rashada could prove himself to be a very good quarterback, but I don't know that I would handicap him as some big favorite or maybe even a favorite over Gunnar Stockton. I think it would be a fair fight, best man win type situation, and we would just sort of see what happened. Obviously, that's the kind of competition that Kirby's pretty comfortable with. So the Rashada thing is one of these deals where he's clearly a good prospect, but don't let the fame lead you to believe he's the obvious heir apparent to Carson Beck, because I'm not really quite so sure that's what these tea leaves are saying.
Yeah, Brandon, you're right on that, man. I think it's a lot of a depth piece right there, and I think it's a competition piece. And listen, I know people pay attention to recruiting rankings. It's a measure of ability. It's a measure of talent. Jaden Rashada, we must, honesty compels us to admit, we'll put $1 in the coin jar for a fine for using one of your favorite lines there, Brandon. But, you know, he's higher rated than Ryan Puglisi was coming out of high school.
Yeah.
He's higher rated than Ryan Montgomery is now. So why not add a talented arm like that to the mix? I think the one thing that I always, and I'll again, honesty here, is that I always wondered with Georgia in the portal and even Georgia and a potential second quarterback in this class or whatever, I just didn't know that they were going to be more talented. Like what was out there was better than what Georgia already had, especially when you included the 2 years of seasoning under Mike Bobo. I think I'm with you. I think I'm congruent with you, Brandon. I think Gunner is still probably the odds-on favorite to be Georgia's quarterback in 2025, especially the way things are going right now. We can't predict remarkable progress for Ryan Puglisi right now. So what it does, though, is I think Georgia internally was kind of worried about, okay, Carson's gone. Carson's a first-round quarterback. What do we have next year? Is it Gunner, who's really never started? Is it Ryan Puglisi, who was a freshman in 2024? Is it Ryan Montgomery, who is a true freshman? Really smart, really talented quarterbacks. But if you're chasing championships, you got to think you really need two quarterbacks, Brandon, not just one. So it's more solidifying what Georgia's number two looks like, as well as the potential number one next year.
All right, let me just do one more thing on this to kind of reiterate an important point that it was a few months ago that kind of out of nowhere, we were talking about a different Jaden Maiva, transferring here from UNLV. And just as quickly as that popped up, it also disappeared. I guess, how likely do you think it could be that, you know, Rashada's announcement and the chatter about Georgia all ends up doing is sort of drawing more flies to the party here? And, you know, eventually someone comes in with maybe more of a desperate offer than what Georgia's in a position to have to make here. And this ends up being as short-lived of a life cycle of a rumor as the Jaden Maiva thing was coming out of UNLV back in the winter.
Yeah, quite possible. We can't never rule that out, Brandon. But I think a lot of places, they're not looking for a starter. Or if they were, Jaden would have maybe hopped out after his freshman year, the first portal window there with Arizona State. Potentially, Brandon, if Georgia gets the rug swept out of their feet, swept out from underneath them on this one, I think it might be the Arizona State collective maybe ponying up, but I can't really see that at all. I mean, I think this is just a strategic, really good spot in terms of, I mean, Brandon, you remember how polarizing or lack thereof when Maiva went to USC, not really a big deal on the food chain. I mean, these are, I always try to bring perspective to these things. It's headlines, it's buzz, it's something to talk about in April, but we're really talking about first tier championship college football problems here. When you're looking at, hey, this guy could be the backup or he could be depth for 2024 at quarterback. I know quarterback's a very important position, but if that's the biggest transfer portal story for Georgia this cycle, then the Dogs are really doing something right.
All right, so the quarterback I thought we'd be talking about today is Ryan Montgomery. Now, we made a big deal yesterday about some of your comments going back to Wednesday about Montgomery's willingness to kind of be a part of the system here at Georgia, perhaps waiting his turn, perhaps not being, I guess, I don't want to say too ambitious because he's clearly got ambition, but someone who's just willing to be a little bit patient. But let me say it that way. That perhaps played a big factor into why Montgomery committed to Georgia this week. So I'm going to let you expand upon that, then also take this in the direction that I think everybody's also curious. Is it now over between Georgia and the five-star quarterback in-state, Julian Juju Lewis?
Over. Yeah, I would say over. Put me in team over there, Brandon. One of the things we talked to Ryan, got the chance to talk to Ryan pretty much in depth this week after his decision. And Ryan said it was pretty clearly articulated to him from Georgia that he's going to be their only 2025 quarterback. They did brief him and say, hey, we're going to go portal hunting. We're going to see what's there, checking out, looking out from the tree stand to see what's coming out of the transfer portal. He's aware of that. He's fine with that. Brandon, I think to answer your earlier question, I thought he said it perfectly. And I mean, I don't think Gummy Van Gorder or Mike Bobo or Kirby Smart scripted this, but right there at his commitment ceremony with that video courtesy of WTOL TV, he came up to the podium, and right after that, with that being said, I hope you caught this, Brandon. He said for the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. That rings a huge bell because they always say three. The really cocky ones say three.
Right.
Everybody else, the realists, say 3 to 4. Ryan Montgomery, by stating that, told you in one soundbite why he's a perfect fit for Georgia, because he'd wait 5 years to go to the NFL. He would wait for his turn. He could follow the Carson Beck playbook, the Carson Beck quarterback development tree plan in Athens. He already sounds a lot like Carson Beck. Brandon, I know you've seen a lot of Carson interviews. I know you've pulled sound from him, but he reps out that super excited phrase already just about as Carson does when he's talking about very little intricate things of the Georgia football team. I think it is not only the best possible fit, it seems like the perfect tailor-made fit for Georgia. When you talk about a player, very cerebral, all about the game. I put in last night's story with Ryan Montgomery, and here's things that stand out to me about Brandon. We asked the question of Ryan is like, hey man, you're the quarterback now. Quarterback means Pied Piper. Quarterback means go talking to guys, starting to build relationships. It means watching film, talking to your receivers, talking to your offensive linemen. Brandon, at the drop of a hat, Ryan Montgomery reeled off, I think, 15 names that he's going to go after for Georgia. So not only did he get the briefing from Coach Bobo, he has retention. He's going to know everything about smash route concepts at Georgia the same way that he's going to know about the recruiting grocery list when you're going up and down your local Kroger to check out what's going on with Georgia. He rattled off all the right names, Brandon. He had David Sanders. He had the receivers. He had C.J. Wiley. He had Juan Gaston. He had Josh Petty. He had Travis Smith Jr. He had them all. And he said the focus for the class is going to be on offensive linemen and receivers, at least for him and the work he's going to do for Georgia. And the one other story, excuse me, it was just so great. He comes to Georgia in spring practice in March, and it's a no-frills visit, kind of like the one Mason Short would love. And they go there, and he watches spring practice, Brandon. So that's already 2.5, maybe 3 hours. Then he comes in the film room with Gummy Van Gorder and Mike Bobo and watches tape of the practice for about 3+ hours. They grade it. They go over protections. They go over route concepts. They go over everything, what the quarterback should have been thinking, what the quarterback was actually thinking, whether that was good or bad. Film session's over. Ryan kind of stands up and he's like, guys, I'm pretty much done. Like, I can't wait much longer. Mm. I think this is the spot. I belong here. This is where I need to be. This is me. This fits my mentality.
Right.
And he says his piece. Like, in some ways, I admire a recruit that does that, that's like, hey, man, shoot your shot. If the dream is Georgia, if the dream is Arizona State, let them know that, hey, let's get this done. Ryan says his piece, probably thinking, knowing at that time, he told me, I'm probably not the number one quarterback on the board. But Ryan said he thought he began to change Georgia's mind with that visit. So much so, you want to know how how much Gummy and how much Mike Bobo were impressed? His father meets up with Bobo at the end of that meeting. Let me get my throat clear. And what he does is he goes, Mike Bobo says to Mike Montgomery, let's not get our mics confused. He says, I think this is going to work out. And then they go on their way back to Ohio, but he left him with that in terms of Mike Bobo was like clearly impressed by that and says, this is probably going to work out. I believe this is going to work out.
Boy, that's fascinating. I
just love a story like that.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Georgia's also taken another commitment since you and I last spoke here. That was on G-Day, Darren Akinabon, the outstanding prospect out of the state of New Jersey. I guess give me a little bit here on this because, A, I love the fact that the pipeline to the Garden State remains open for Georgia even post-Fran Brown. But also, I think I had a little bit of a different idea about Akinabon in that instead of being like a 3-4 defensive end, sounds like he has a future more like the stand-up outside linebacker. Would you mind, I guess, starting with that, what the position fit is for him here at UGA and just kind of just anywhere you want to take that about a very impressive G-Day commitment ad for Georgia in this class of 2025?
Yeah, so Brandon, there's a lot of stuff there. First of all, he got classified up as an eighth grader. Like we talk about guys classifying back and redshirt freshmen in eighth grade in Georgia and the South or redshirt kindergartners. He's in eighth grade and he's already 6'4", 180. His principal tells him, you're smart as a whip and you're also 6'4", 180. Get on up to high school, man. So they moved him up to the high school level. He's got Nigerian ancestry. That's becoming a very big thing there in the at the University of Georgia. Born in Italy, though, and then moves to America. I've been told he speaks 3 to 4 languages. Wow. 6'6 and some change, Brandon. 257 already. And this guy, very deliberate. His first visit to Georgia, hooks were in him. He saw Notre Dame. He went and saw Ohio State. He saw other schools, to be sure. But when he got to Athens, he came to Athens for G-Day this past weekend. It was almost a done deal. So much that his high school coach, who used to play at Mississippi State, actually understands everything about SEC football. He said the only way that Darren and Kinnabon was not going to commit to Georgia this past weekend was if the stadium cracked in half. And I've never kind of heard something quite like that before about a prospect who he said the first time he saw him, this young man passed the eyeball test before he even knew what the eyeball test was. He runs so well, Brandon. There's a clip on his highlight film really high up there. Somebody gave him some great advice where he makes an interception return and just takes off running. And he's got great speed to be 6'6 plus, 257 pounds. Brandon, I must admit, honesty compels me here as well, that when you're 6'6 and a half, and you're 257 already as a rising senior in high school football, really sounds like your future role potentially might be not so much a lot of edge, but kind of a combo thing in terms of, you know, maybe what Trayvon Walker did. Very hard body type to find there, but it's a rare body type as well. But the projections there for Darren, 6'6 and a half, 270 by the time he's 2 or 3 years in Georgia. And he's going to be rolling with that speed as well. And, Brandon, I do feel if Georgia – we know Georgia. We've documented Georgia. We've chronicled Georgia. Has to go crazy at edge this year because they took last year off after going very hard in 2023. I believe Darren was probably the top target at the edge position, and Georgia's already locked him up with a very no-nonsense commitment.
Boy, that's really exciting, Jeff, and I think that's a great add to this class for Georgia. I also want to finish with this, and this kind of relates to a big name who was at G-Day on Saturday, but you also had a chance to spend some time this week with Justice Terry. This is going to be a great story at DogNation.com. I believe it's coming today, and I would say that right now this probably stands as one of the recruits that Georgia fans want to know the most about, and especially coming off the visit, you know, it's the USC commitment right now, but a couple of visits to Georgia, including the one there on Saturday. You know, where do things stand? Let's just kind of focus on Terry here. Where do things stand with Terry, and what was it like getting a chance to spend some time with him personally here this week for a story that everyone's going to get a chance to read here this weekend?
Yeah, going to have some video up on it soon, Brandon. But for me, without trying to give away all the chocolate chip cookies and the macadamia nuts in the story, you're going to learn a lot from Justice Terry right here. You're going to learn that, you know, that narrative about, hey, this is a kid from middle Georgia that basically gets to Hollywood, sees all the glitz and glamour, and that's the big flip. Or he gets money whipped by USC, and that's what does it. It's really not like that. Georgia coach Trey Scott had made it clear to Justice, as he said, the first time I ever started recruiting you, he said, I'm going to be in the race for you. It's going to be a race for you, but I'm going to be in the hunt for you. We're going to come for you. And he's reiterated that ever since, as he said, your recruiting will be a marathon, and we're going to be here for every step of the marathon. Justice told me that his decision probably will not be final until early signing day in December. Right now, he feels really good about USC, but he got to Georgia and those kind of homegrown fires did start burning. And it's just a remarkable story. I think Justice is handling it really well. Everybody's thinking, yeah, Georgia might have a chance. I've even said Georgia does have a chance at the flip, and they probably should flip Justice Terry. But all those events have to run their course. Georgia's going to have to, I believe, Brandon, this is my belief here, that Georgia will have to do something in the NIL area to perhaps sweeten the pot. I don't think Georgia does that now. Do they do it at the official visit? Do they do it later on towards the actual signing day? That's probably what's going to have to happen here for him to be a dog. But this young man, Brandon, he comes from a high school. This is the proper perspective on this story I want to add, is the last time they sent someone to a Power 5 school was 2017, and that was to Kentucky. Not the highest of the mountains here with the Georgias, the Ohio States, the Alabamas, the Clemsons, those type of programs. But this January, Brandon, tiny Manchester High School, on the same field where Justice Terry has played football, his home game, football games his entire life. The rec teams play on the high school field on Saturdays. Brandon, a very small town Georgia as it gets, perhaps, that football field hosted, I believe the number is 14 helicopters the month of January. And that's Georgia, that's USC, that's Miami, that's all the big names. 14 helicopters, Brandon. There's a difference between being a target and being a five-star and then where you are when you're a prospect like Justice Terry, who has NFL future just dripping all over him from the moment. I guess he got internet recruiting famous when he was 15, when he had that shirtless photo where he looked like the cover of Muscle and Fitness when he was already 15 years old. That's a lot, Brandon. Like, in terms of helicopters landing, I don't know if there's been 14 helicopters landed on the practice fields or the game fields of the current Georgia commitment list. At least it wasn't before Darren and Mason and then, Ryan got involved. So, that's a lot. It's going to be a very contested recruitment. I think it will probably either be USC or Georgia. Other schools will try. Justice did tell me, again, we're not trying to give away all the story here, but Justice did tell me that the way USC could potentially work for him is he would like to move his family, or at least a couple members of his family, out to USC with him to kind of get rid of those, to kind of maybe counter or maybe hold back a little bit of that homesickness and that hometown on that home, missing that hometown vibe. But I'm going to encourage everybody, read the story. I asked a lot of people around Justice's circle, and this is not just simply a young man thinking short term at all here with some big NIL cash from USC.
Really fascinating stuff, Jeff. I appreciate your insight on that. And I do encourage everybody to go to dognation.com and read that story. It's going to be a fascinating one. I'm looking forward to being on board Allure of the Seas with you next week. What a fun time this is going to be. What a fun time of year this is, just, you know, for Georgia fans and college football fans. There's so much interesting stuff going on. You're obviously right at the center of all of that. So I'll see you on the ship here this week. And, of course, back here again on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger again very soon as well.
Hey, Brandon, I got to catch up with you. I know you're the first member of the Dog Nation team to have gotten their bags packed. You're ready to go pointed in that direction already, so I got to get myself ready, too.
You better believe that, Jeff. Good stuff. Thanks a lot.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, let me say this real quick, and then we'll transition here to a cruise around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. You know, Jeff mentions NIL being a factor for Justice Terry. Here's the way that I feel about it. You know, one of the things we sometimes say is, Georgia doesn't want guys who are primarily about the NIL, or, you know, Georgia's not going to, like, lead with that for its incoming freshman recruits. That's not what it's about, which I think is a strategy is all fine and well. And in the case of, like, say, a quarterback, for instance, you know, Ryan Montgomery compared to Julian Juju Lewis, perhaps. I think, you know, choosing the guy who perhaps provides less NIL headaches, maybe that makes sense. But when it comes to defensive linemen, I firmly believe that's where you spend your money. And when it comes to the sort of bidding wars for the best guys, if you've got a chance to win it, you do everything you can to money whip your opponent, and you do everything you can to win that battle. Because defensive linemen, that is a position of scarcity. There are not enough of them to go around. Therefore, they drive, usually, especially the last couple of years, a very hard financial bargain. And if your plan is not to win with them via NIL, what is your plan to have elite defensive linemen? Because that's about the only way you can do it. There are just not, you know, top flight guys like that always entering the transfer portal. More on that here in a moment. So I've got no problem with a defensive lineman knowing his worth. And I hope that when it comes to Georgia's NIL budget, whatever it is,
that a huge portion of that is devoted to winning these kinds of line of scrimmage battles, because that, I believe, is where the championships are won. All right, with that said, let's get ready to go cruise around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. As Jeff said, getting a chance to be on board Allure of the Seas with him coming up this upcoming week. Can't wait for that. I am packed up and ready to go and just sort of, you know, biding my time until the moment gets here. And of course, when I see Allure of the Seas and how cool that is and how much fun that's going to be, I'm so excited about sharing all of that with you. And I love the fact that Royal Caribbean has made such a commitment to these sort of short cruises, which we sort of think of a 3-night or a 4-night stay. Our cruise is 4 nights, leaving on a Monday. We're coming back on a Friday. And then they'll do a 3-night cruise, leaving on a Friday and coming through the weekend, getting back on Monday. And for a long time, you know, the short cruise market was sort of reserved for sometimes older ships or things like that. You know, now Royal Caribbean's saying, hey, let's put a huge emphasis on the shorter cruises. Let's put Oasis class ships on those shorter cruises. And Allure of the Seas is an amazing vessel. I just think it's so much fun, not only for our Dog Nation cruise, but the commitment now that Royal Caribbean is kind of showing to this sort of shorter cruise market. I just think that's an awesome thing. So if you've got a busy family like I do, the shorter cruise may be the best option for you. Jessica Slater can help you plan it. You can give her a call, 770-718-9147. That's 770-718-9147. You can also email her, jslater@dreamvacations.com. And if you couldn't be on the Dog Nation cruise, the next best thing is your own Royal Caribbean cruise vacation. I hope you get one of those coming up here in 2024. All right, let's begin with this. A lot of spring games across college football here this weekend. A couple of note, both the new SEC teams have their spring games, both Texas and Oklahoma. This is probably worth watching. In the case of Texas in particular, a couple of things. It's another chance to see Arch Manning. I don't know that Arch Manning dazzled last year during the spring game. Malik Murphy probably ended up getting more attention than Manning did this time a year ago. How much growth and maturity has Arch show in another year where he's expected to be the backup quarterback, but how much improvement is he showing? I think that's kind of fascinating. It's also important to note that hype continues to build for Texas against Georgia, and Georgia traveling there. We had a great announcement about our Dog Nation invasion to Austin a couple of days ago. I saw where Brad Crawford, 24/7 Sports, ranked Georgia-Texas as the biggest game in college football here this year. So a little bit of a preview of all that by peeking in on the Texas spring game probably makes a little bit of sense. I mentioned the absence of defensive line in the transfer portal. That was interesting to see Brian Kelly the other day. And anytime a coach is like very, very specifically kind of forthright and very clear, it's kind of stands out, because so often coaches kind of sidestep, you know, very sort of obvious statements. But Kelly said the other day that the only transfer portal priority they have right now during the spring are the defensive linemen, which I think tells you a couple of things. A year after taking a bunch of defensive back transfers, perhaps coached up by Corey Raymond, LSU feels okay about it. Maybe they feel okay with their linebackers there, too. Of course, Harold Perkins going into his junior season, an important name to know there. But the other part of this is, if you're telling me, hey, all we need is a defensive line, we can be a championship contender, what you're telling me is your chances of being a championship contender are not great, because, you know, finding the big-time defensive line in the transfer portal, there is just – that is a shortcut that's just not going to be available to too many teams. Take a look at what's out there now. You got the guy from UCLA. You got what, Dominic Williams from TCU, I guess, is there. You know, there are some portal defensive linemen, but this is not the same thing as the level of talent you get for guys coming out of high school that you develop over the course of a period of years. So this is what Kelly says their portal priority is going to be, and it's actually a pretty good harbinger for just how much can you take a shortcut on such an important position when it comes to transfer portal. Not easy to find defensive linemen, and almost impossible the last couple of years to find offensive linemen worth keeping in mind. I'll finally mention this, that a former Georgia Bulldog is also in the news. One-time transfer Justin Robinson to Mississippi State, after a couple of years in which he actually didn't have bad numbers, 50-plus catches, about 600 total or so yards in 2 years there over the course of the last 2 years of catching the football. Robinson going to be on the move again. This is obviously a former Terrence Edwards protege, so we like Justin. We enjoyed him being at Georgia there too, but it looks like he's on the move again. We certainly wish Justin Robinson well as he moves on to the next phase of his football life. Now, with that said, let me also wrap up Cruise Around the SEC courtesy of Royal Caribbean, and let me take a moment here
to allow a couple of members of our audience to enjoy the fruits of their success here. Spike the football, if you will. We've done two great things as of late. And I mentioned this a little earlier. If you participated in our Golden Shoe Masters Pool or our Golden Shoe Bracket Challenge, I think once I get back from the cruise, I'm going to have something really good. At least I think it's really good. It's not the, I mean, I don't want to make it more than it is, but it's a nice little gesture here that I'm going to try to send out to each of you who reached out to me. So just a little thank you from me. This is coming from me personally, something I wanted to buy and kind of do. This is all being done on my own here. Wanted to do this for you. So we'll do that here coming up in a week or so. But the winners of our various contests, wanted to give them a chance to enjoy that here today. So let me bring on, starting off with Jonah Carney here. Jonah won our Golden Shoe Masters Pool. A terrific job of making his picks, including very wisely having Scotty Scheffler a part of all that. Jonah's also traveling for work here today. So Jonah, kind enough to join us on what is a very busy day for him. So Jonah, let me begin by saying this. Congratulations on winning the Masters Pool. How big of a golf fan are you?
Second only to the Georgia Bulldogs, man. I'm a massive golf fan. I've played since I was 12, which is when I started cheering for the Dogs as well. So as long as I've been old enough to have common sense, I'm a Dogs fan and a golf fan.
So when you made your Masters picks, then you were probably feeling pretty good about it. I mean, obviously, Scotty Scheffler had been on an amazing run coming into that. So having him kind of anchoring your team, you probably felt pretty good about that. And the rest of you guys, you were probably feeling okay about there as well, right?
Well, I'll say Max Homa has been on my radar for a while. That's why I named my team after him. So absolutely great golfer. I had to bring in Harris English because obviously former Dog.
That's right.
And Tyrrell Hatton's just fun to watch play, man. That dude is the very definition of passionate about his craft.
Yeah.
So no, it was a great time. My buddy Dan Blanchard was the one that clued me into y'all's Masters Pool, even though I've been listening for a long time. But I just definitely appreciate the opportunity and, you know, thank you very much for having me on today. It was an absolute blast.
So we should tell folks you did have a very creative team name, Homa Land Security. That was, I thought that was really fun. And you, as you mentioned, been a big golf fan, but also a big Georgia fan for a long time. While we have you here on the show, I guess tell us about your outlook for the upcoming season, how excited you are about the things that perhaps Georgia gets a chance to do here this season.
Man, I'm pumped. There's three games on my radar that I'm a little concerned about. I'm interested to see what Kalen DeBoer has in store for us when we take the trip to Tuscaloosa. I think Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss might give us some problems in Texas. I mean, we won't know till we know, but I still see the ability for us to run the table. You know, we've got a bunch of great talent coming back. We've added some with Trevor Etienne. I'm excited to see what a healthy Branson Robinson looks like. And frankly, Oscar Delp, you've got some really big shoes to fill, dude. So play hard, play strong, and play the whole season because, you know, you're going to be Brock Jr., at least until you make a name for yourself.
Well, Jonah, I think that's incredibly well said. And I just wanted to say congratulations for winning the Masters pick. It's so much fun to have guys like you be a part of stuff like this that we do. You know, it's just a great community that I feel very fortunate to be a part of here as the host of Dog Nation Daily. So I appreciate you being a part of that. Congratulations on being the winner. We wanted to give you a chance to be celebrated by our entire audience today. So thank you very much for being on the show. I appreciate that, Jonah.
Hey, thank you. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs indeed. So good stuff there from Jonah. And we'll keep the, I guess, the list of winners rolling here because Randy Hall, who a lot of you know Randy because Randy has been sort of a longtime voice in our comment section, especially at DogNation.com. We do a thing every morning here called our First and 15. We do it on DogNation.com and the Dog Nation app. And Randy's been an anchor in that space for a long time, and apparently also pretty good at making his college basketball picks, too. And nobody follows Georgia recruiting, I don't think, any closer than Randy does. So Randy will welcome you onto the program today there as well. Congratulations on winning our Golden Shoe Bracket Challenge. It just sort of worked out for us to do these back-to-back here today, so we did that. But Randy, first of all, thanks for being a very prolific member of our audience each and every day, but congratulations on making some very successful college basketball picks there, too.
Well, BA, I think we're on. Can you hear me now?
I sure can, Randy. I sure can.
Okay, great. Let me get my camera kind of.
There you go. Yeah, now you're all framed up with the golden shoe wrapped around you there. Oh, look at that. You got the Dog Nation Daily shirt on. That's amazing.
Yeah, for sure.
You're talking about synergistic. I mean, Randy knows how to do it here. Coming on video, sporting some Dog Nation Daily garb. I really appreciate that, Randy. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And I feel great being on here and great contest. I entered it in the last minute and got it going. And I also entered the golf contest also. And I picked the winner. I picked Scotty and picked him at 10 under and missed that by one stroke.
Okay.
But my other guys did not do that great.
Yeah, sometimes it goes that way. Randy, I also know you follow all this stuff with Georgia football very closely there as well. Were you surprised at me about the Jaden Rashada rumors? And what do you think about Georgia perhaps adding a transfer quarterback like, you know, like that potentially if it were to go down? I know you always have a pretty strong reaction to some of the stuff that appears in the show. What do you make of that news here today?
I think it's exciting. It's another thumbs down to Florida Gators.
Which we love. You know we love that around here.
We love that. We all are Gator haters. I'm just telling you that. So it's going to be a very exciting year. I love the turnover of new players coming on board. The transfer guys I'm excited about. And look for this new upcoming talent that we have. Really exciting about that this year.
And I'll finish with this. I know you follow recruiting very closely, too. We just heard from Jeff Sintel about Justice Terry. Who's the one recruit still in this 2025 class you want to see Georgia bring in?
I want David Sanders.
Okay.
I want offensive lineman from Charlotte.
I like it.
I know a couple guys are encouraging him to come to UGA. I want to keep him away from Clemson, definitely. So David Sanders, and I love Justice Terry. I want him to come.
Hey, listen, I'm all about the offensive and defensive lineman right now. Randy, I think that's really good stuff. Congratulations on being our Golden Shoe bracket pool winner. We appreciate you participating and really good stuff. Just thank you so much for being here today, Randy, and appreciate you supporting the Dog Nation Daily T-shirt there as well.
Well, I appreciate it, too, and then I love all the guys that are on our daily call-in and everything like that. They're fun to be with. And we communicate great over online, too.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Randy, good stuff. Have a great weekend, okay?
Yes, sir. Thanks. Take care.
Good stuff there. And just appreciate, and as we wrap up things here today, we'll go ahead and crank up that fight song and get ready to say goodbye to you. Giving out those golden shoes. How good did the golden shoe graphic as a kind of a wraparound for both Jonah and Randy there? That's a really fun thing to be able to see. Just really appreciate their participation. And if you were a part of the contest, you know, even if you weren't the winner, they got a chance to celebrate here live on air. Be on the lookout because you could see something kind of good coming your way here really soon. I'll tell you more about that. Like I said, I don't want to make it have to be something that it's not. It is not going to be something that has any probably monetary value, but nonetheless, something we wanted to kind of do for some fun. All right. So, you know, today's our getaway day. We are saying goodbye to you. At least in terms of live shows, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week, wonderful, wonderful collection of pre-recorded shows that we've done that an entire team of folks helped us put on the air. We love that. And then Friday, live, Cody Chaffin's Connor Riley reacting to the NFL draft. And as many have said today, making fun of the lousy, stinking Gators, their former quarterback commit, maybe in the mix for Georgia here. Good time to remind you, it's been 1,259 days since Florida's beaten Georgia. That is our Gator hater updater. And we appreciate you being here. Have a great weekend. If you're going on the cruise, we'll see you Monday. Everybody else, I'll see you live at least a week from now. But a great collection of shows next week here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger.